When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, he hit 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, on this famous day, September 30th, we've all lived New York sports together. The Mets win an incredible game against the Atlanta Braves, 8-7. They are going to the postseason. They are playing the second game of a doubleheader, in which for the Mets, here's what's on the line. If they win, the Braves are eliminated, and the Mets go to San Diego for a rematch from 2022. If the Mets lose, they go to Milwaukee for a rematch from this weekend and play a best-of-three series against the Brewers. It has been a crazy day. We're going to get to all your phone calls reacting to it at 888-808-1019. But Sean Morat, did you have a Cinco de 5-0 today?
Not only did I have a Cinco, you're going to love the Cinco.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's Sean with his Cinco de 5-0.
Cinco de 5-0 with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de 5-0 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. Timestamp on said Cinco de 5-0 that I emailed to Lou Gower to print, 11:19 a.m., knowing I would be reading this at 5 p.m. I'm here to give you the top five Mets MVPs this year after they have clinched a playoff spot.
Okay.
Here we go.
Number five.
I'm going Francisco Alvarez at number five, and I know he's had his down stretches this year, but the difference early and in that midseason from when he was out to when they played and the Mets winning baseball games was paramount.
Yeah, he had the OG Anunoby effect, right?
Yes.
Where the Mets win-loss record was incredible every time he played. He's had a very tough sophomore season, but hopefully he's getting hot at the right time because he had a huge hit during that rally that they had in the eighth inning.
Even though he did get beat up behind the plate a little bit.
He did.
We continue.
Number four.
Brandon Nimmo was Mr. Clutch so many times this year, and what did he do today?
Ah, big two-run home run that he pimped. I loved watching him pimp that home run. That was the home run that gave him a 6-3 lead.
Yeah,
obviously,
it was a no-doubter.
They blew the lead, but at the time, it felt pretty incredible.
He rally pimped it. All right, here we go.
Number three.
David Peterson set up yesterday the whole month of August and September. David Peterson was the Met ace for a long time there at the end.
You know where I got to give David Peterson so much love? And this did scare me the other day, Teak. I know you hate history sometimes because it doesn't mean anything, and this is going to prove you right. It doesn't mean anything. The Mets had two incredible starts in the second to last day of a baseball season that came before horrible events. Johan Santana's complete game with a torn meniscus. Mm-hmm. Following day, they closed down Shane Loose.
Yep.
John Maine's near no-hitter. The previous season, next day, they lose. And David Peterson's performance yesterday against the Brewers was reminiscent. It was dominant. It was great. It was clutch. But it wasn't going to mean anything if they didn't take advantage of today. And luckily, as Tiki Barber has taught me, history doesn't really mean anything.
It means jack. You make history as it goes.
That's right.
How about that? All right, here we go.
Number two.
It's Sean Manaea with a career year. Was the Mets ace from pillar to post and will be counted on this week in the wild card series.
Yeah, his last start wasn't very good, but Sean's had a wonderful year. And you're right, game two of the wild card series, hopefully up 1-0, but maybe down 0-1. Manaea's getting the ball.
And last but not least,
number one,
Francisco Lindor, who today, I mean, that is as balls and at bat as we've seen a New York Met have in forever.
It was. Sal and I were talking about this off air, how Piazza kind of set the benchmark for the big, big home runs. Lindor's home run today was as clutch a home run as this franchise has had in a long time. They've had some clutch postseason home runs that live in history. But when you think about the circumstances, when you think about where this team was after blowing a 6-3 lead in the eighth inning, that Lindor home run is freaking legendary. And if you are a Met fan, I don't care if he's 0 for April next year. I don't care if he's hitting 087 in May. Francisco Lindor has earned that trust as a megastar who came up big when the team needed him the most. Francisco freaking Lindor.
So he's not overpaid or overrated?
No. Who said that?
People have been saying it for 3 years now.
Did you ever say that to you?
I never said it, because I thought he was paid for a reason.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with how good of a player he is.
You never said it to you?
I never said it.
Do you know any Jet or Yankee fan combos?
Yes. Have you ever said it? I do. Brandon Dearden.
But I'll be, look, BT.
BT definitely said it.
Let me give BT some love because Brandon Tierney is one of the many people that sent me a congratulatory text. And that meant a lot to me because I worked very hard today trying to get the Mets a victory. I did nothing. I sat on my fat ass eating chorizo quesadillas. But it felt like I ran a marathon.
But that's how fandom works.
Yeah, that's right.
And people who are fans and understand how other fans work.
And you better text BT every series when the Yankees have. He extended the first.
Is that? Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
That's common courtesy.
Okay. So if the Yankees advance,
that's so weird.
I think I have to do that with him.
What's wrong with y'all?
We have to have a fan relationship where we congratulate each other. Yeah. I think you're right. I think I have to do that.
You do, yes.
I'm not going to do it for you.
Why not? I just proved with the Cinco I had all the confidence.
It was a nice Cinco, but
and I told
it was obvious. I mean, the number one was obvious.
Yes,
easy.
But
you could have written that 2-3 months ago.
No. What if I was doing this list off a loss? Evan would want to kill me.
Well, but don't you think that Sean, for the most part, kind of handled himself without class throughout today? Is that a fair thing to say?
I don't see. He was classy.
I was very classy.
He was making interesting dad jokes.
I mean, he was.
You guys hated them.
He pumped his fist after Albies.
That's because he won money.
I won a lot of money in this game.
He didn't care from a fan standpoint. He won money. Why would you not want that?
I was here at this dais, let's call it, representing the gambling man and, frankly, the Yankee fan.
Okay. Fair enough. You know what? Now that it's over, I don't really care. Fine. You were wonderful. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Want me to kiss you on your big, fat, bald head?
I'm good on that. Thank you.
Okay. All right, let's get to your phone calls. We promised you. Let's get to you. Very happy Met fans. Let's start it off with Tony in Connecticut. How you doing, Tony?
Great. Awesome. Go Mets.
Yeah.
We got to finish slaying the dragon, baby. We got to finish slaying the dragon.
Well, that's the thing. What is the dragon? Winning the World Series? Because they got a long way to go. But, yes, this is step one. I am not going to come in here tomorrow, Tiki. I'm just going to warn you and say everything's been accomplished. Who cares? Now it's on to the next. Can this team go on a deep postseason run? Can they take the momentum from a win like this and turn it into something?
Yeah.
I've seen other teams do it. I've seen other teams win one-game playoffs or wild-card games like the Nationals did back in 2019 and go on a big run. And that is certainly the hope that we have Met fans now have.
I think maybe he was talking about slaying the Dragon as slaying the Atlanta Braves, who have been the nemesis for so many years. Currently, bottom of the second, the Braves are up 1-0.
Now that the Braves have taken a lead, I have to admit, I don't give a rat's ass.
Exactly.
I've thought about this.
So, I mean, slaying the Dragon or not slaying the Dragon is what?
Yeah. Slaying the Dragon
is meaningful? You're going to hate it when they come back, and if it comes back to it. But
what do you mean? Like if the Mets have to play the Braves later?
Yeah, in all seriousness, if the Mets lost in an LCS to the Braves, does the Lindor homer versus Atlanta kind of hurt the whole idea of slaying a dragon?
Well, no. I never said they slayed the dragon of the Braves. That's what our last caller didn't really specify the slaying of the dragon. He said now we have to slay the dragon.
Yeah.
I think that means winning a World Series. But there's a long history between the Mets and the Braves.
You got three series before you can win a World Series.
I know, but that's what he said about slaying a dragon. Right. I didn't interpret just beating the Braves one time. I mean, I'm glad the Mets made the playoffs. It was an incredible win. But no, I don't think this evens up the Mets' history against Atlanta. There's a long way to go.
Yeah, but if you say slay the dragon.
I mean, slaying the dragon is winning the World Series, team.
Yeah, okay. If you say so.
Well, what do you think it is?
I don't know. It seems like a team that you hate, a team that continually dominates you. It's not always sitting atop the perch, not sitting on top of King Giant or Dragon Hill, but it is a dragon that you hate.
So you think if the Mets win the second game, they're losing 1-0 right now, bottom of the second, that would be quote-unquote slaying the dragon?
If they win the second game, it would slay this dragon.
Yeah. I mean, for now.
The Braves.
For now, it would eliminate them this season. I'd rather win the next round than worry about what happens today.
But before we take a call here, Digital's putting out videos of RL celebrations. Is HR in the department here? This guy was literally humping me during the
Met
when they won.
I was very excited.
I mean, you were humping me like you're a dog and I'm somebody's leg. I'm watching this.
You should have seen what happened if they lost. I would have physically, harmed you.
And you're not wearing any pants. Is HR around anywhere? Have they gone home? Is it like... Well,
yeah,
I think
they left.
They left
when everybody else on the watch party left.
You can't be positive, Tommy, and the moment your team clinches, get mad at a hump.
It's true.
I mean, at least call me back in the morning.
I'll call you tomorrow if you want. I'll call you tonight, too, if you'd like. Chris on Long Island. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris. What a game. As a Mets fan, since I was a little kid going to Shea Stadium with my mom and dad, that is the greatest to date Mets game I have ever seen in my life. And to everybody who are the naysayers of the Mets, and to all the Braves fans, I have four little letters, LFGM.
Damn right. You tell them. By the way, Chris, such a great idea for a Rico Bronya. Is that the greatest Met game that we've ever seen? And obviously there's an age cutoff because I think if you're a little bit older and you remember Game 6, Mets Astros, Game 6 of the NLCS in 1986, that takes the cake. But from my era, an era, Teak, that really started understanding baseball in the early 90s, and I'm 41 years old, so I'm not exactly that young.
Yep.
For our generation, 45 and under, it's up there. I mean, I'm racking my brain right now. Like, we may have witnessed...
Come on, regular season games.
I think I'm including any game.
Because you've seen, because you didn't see the other ones.
Right. No, I'm taking out. Look, 86, I was too young. That's why I'm saying of our generation, like, the Robin Ventura Grand Slam single was unbelievable, right? But guess what? They lost the series.
Yeah.
We didn't get the last laugh. At least here, even if the Mets lose the second game, that win assured them a playoff spot. So... from that standpoint, I don't get depressed thinking about, well, what happened in Game 6? Kenny Rogers walked in the lead. Like, I can think about this win on its own without necessarily connecting it to what happens next.
So the postseason, not including the postseason for you, that's what you're talking about.
What do you mean? Like, if they got knocked out very quickly?
No, not even that. Like, I'm talking about a game that you're just going to always remember. And I think part of the reason you always remember this one is the circumstances that we put it in.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, the performance space with a live audience here. I don't know how many people were behind us, 15 or 20 or so. Three screens going crazy with every moment that happened in the game. It's impossible not to remember where you were when this happened.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you're just sitting at, if we're sitting in the studio and it's just on and you kind of react, it's different.
No, I think it would still be one of the greatest Met games I've ever seen.
I think the environment. Yes, absolutely. But I'm talking about memorable, like something that sticks in your head.
I think, despite
anything else that comes after.
Teague, I think the Mets were set up today, prior to that game turning out the way it turned out, for this doubleheader to be one of the most memorable games in the history of the franchise. Games you don't forget. For example, the end of 2008. None of us forget. In fact, you're probably sick of me or anyone else referring to it. I get it. Or the end of 2007. Like, there are certain games for your franchise that you kind of know going in you're never going to forget, and you hope it works out well.
Christmas Eve 2011.
Okay. You know, listen, I'm in a good mood today.
You let that one slide.
I have no other choice.
Well, hold on. It's factual, though.
It is factual.
There's a large amount of people in New York that will never forget that day and what it meant for that season.
Sean, it was also Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Everyone won't forget it, because on the bad end, we won't forget it either. Like, we don't forget the bad stuff either. Ozzy and Woodrich, how you doing, Oz?
I did not make any vacation plans in October. My positivity profit. Good job, Tommy!
Ozzy, I've been telling everybody for months, I was called delusional Tommy. I was called a liar by some, I won't say by who. I was muted, I was unfollowed. I had to fight the no fun police. I had to fight Met fans all year long. Calm down, relax, everybody take a deep breath. The Mets will be playing baseball in October. Guess what? Tomorrow is October 1st. The Mets will be playing
Give me another hug, Luigi!
All right, don't hump me this time. Right.
Do you think there's less flights leaving JFK and LaGuardia tomorrow?
Yes, because everyone canceled their plans.
They're going to be trying to get their money back.
Tommy was right. What a day, Ozzy.
But every yin needs a yang, and you can fact check me on this one. But when the Mets went back under 500 in early July, and Sean was asked again, would the Mets be 500? And he doubled down, just like he doubles down on double cheeseburgers, and he said they would not see 500 again, just like he said in the beginning of the season when they were wallowing. And around that time, and around the time when Tommy became the positivity prophet, they were around the same time, that's when it all turned. So, Sean, you could say how you were happy when the home runs were hit and this and that last week, and I got excited for the Mets, but you take that, you eat crow, and you sit on that. We don't need you. We don't want you. And we don't need no flip-flopping from you, brother.
Thank you, Ozzy. Sean, would you like to respond?
Well, yeah, he's not flipping to anything. He's a Yankee fan.
Yeah, also, I'm more of a single Patty guy now. And Oz, enjoy the cute wild card round. I'll see you Saturday.
Well, I've got some great news for Ozzy and everybody else. He's tried to bring Sean down as a guy who is very negative. When we come back, we are going to present to you a very special audio package that was put together in honor of the New York Mets making the postseason and how everybody knew it was always going to happen. Plus, more of your calls at 888-808-1019. The Mets are going to the postseason. Jet fans are still pissed off from the embarrassment of yesterday. And what does the head of Knicks fans have to say about dogs being traded for cats? We'll get to it all coming up. Evan and Tiki. Here on The Fan on this wonderful Monday, the Mets are going to the postseason after beating the Atlanta Braves dramatically in Game 1 of the doubleheader. They're in the midst of Game 2. They trail 1-0. What's on the line for the Mets is just simply who they're going to play. If they lose this game, they go to Milwaukee, 5:30 first pitch tomorrow. If they win this game, they go to San Diego, 8:30 first pitch tomorrow. But right now, I have to give credit to WFAN's very own Sean Morash. Sean was inspired to put together a Mets playoff berth audio package. And I thought it was a brilliant idea. And I said, Sean, I appreciate that, but I can't be a part of this because the Mets haven't clinched the playoff. And Sean said, don't worry, I'm going to work on it. And then when they clinch a playoff spot, I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. And now that the Mets have clinched the playoff spot, I want to thank Sean Morash. I want to thank the great Paul Arzuman.
That's right.
Who also put it together. And I want to present it to the audience. Does it need any intro or any kind words you want to say before we play it?
I would just say congratulations, Met fans. Eat your heart out the year that was on WFAN.
Mm. Here we go. Let's take it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
This Mets team is one of the most frustrating teams you've ever seen.
And this is part of a locker room culture problem, if you ask me.
The reason why I would trade Pete Alonso if I'm the Mets is because I believe his presence is preventing their true leader, their true captain, from taking the reins of that clubhouse. And with Pete there, I don't believe Nimmo can truly take over the reins of this team, which I think he has to do for this team to have the ultimate success.
Oh my God, it is unbelievable.
Oh my God, todo lo malo echado para allá.
This year was not going to be anything for them anyway. David Stearns knew it. Steve Cohen knew it. Steve Cohen told us before the offseason that they weren't going to do anything in the offseason, and nobody believed him. So that's what's happened. Now, they're way worse than I think anybody expected.
Mookie's actually been really good on this, where the Mets, every time they've had these little hiccups throughout the season, they haven't let go of the rope. They haven't let go of the rope. And that's why I started with, I think they've let go of the rope.
No way. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You want Lindor? How much of his contract do I have to eat? You want McNeil? Take him. He stinks. You want Diaz? I respect him. I'm not trying to diss him. Not the same guy. Go. You want Nimmo? Take him.
This group here and this core here and what we're watching now will be gone. Will be gone in the offseason. It'll be gone at the trade deadline. This is going to be a full-blown colon cleanse of this organization.
Colon cleanse.
By David Stearns. And it better be. Let's put it that way. It better be. Because if it's not, then what the hell are we doing?
The Mets season is over. They are done. They are boring. They stink. Everybody knows it. Now it's time to act on that.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
Oh, my God. Todo lo malo echado.
Swing and a high fly ball, well hit right center. Harris going back. It's on the way. It is gone. Francisco Lindor has an MVP moment. He has just put the Mets back on top. 8-7. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball, slowly hit to short. Waiting on it, Lindor. He's got it. Throws to first. Put it in the box. Diaz slams the glove down. He is pounced on by Alvarez. And the New York Mets are headed to postseason play.
Wow. Wow. Sean, I am so proud of you. Lukey, that was an amazing piece he put together. And you know what? Including yourself in that, I respect.
Well, yeah.
I respect
everybody's got to be held accountable.
Wow.
Even Tiki was in it.
What did I say?
I forgot.
The Mets are the most frustrating team I've ever seen.
I mean, I've not ever seen. I said they're incredibly frustrating.
I mean, he's not wrong about
that. The Mets team is one of the most frustrating teams you've ever seen.
One of the most frustrating teams you've ever seen.
Oh, so not you.
Exactly.
Everybody else.
I'm a Met fan. Why do I care?
Of all those clips, I think Tiki came across okay because everything he said was true. It was, they weren't frustrating. That was very well done.
I don't hate the Mets, nor am I trolling on them. They were frustrating.
No,
I don't hate him either. I like Carlos Mendoza.
I do too. Actually, especially after meeting him. I really like Carlos Mendoza.
But I think that piece really, that's this radio station. We've heard from callers, people on social media. If you email the Rico Bronya, people thought the Mets punted in the offseason.
Well, you don't forget that. I hated hearing that, Loogie. That was always stupid to me.
Then we know how the start they got off to. And to my calculation, the season ended, I don't know, 750 times. Mm-hmm. We stuck with it. This team is different, Evan. I know you don't have to apologize to Gelbs, but you'd have to admit, this team showed guts and heart today. That loss, or that game, excuse me, that they beat the Braves there, they lose that game a lot in their history. This team did not do that.
I think that, you know, okay, so there's two little angles to this, stories to this. They ended up having a much better season than everyone on this radio station thought, okay? Mm-hmm. They got themselves back into it. They were 11 games under. Even before that, the expectations coming in were not good. I thought they would be decent. I thought they would be better than people thought. I never looked at it as a punt off season. When they got to 11 games under 500, they challenged all of us to actually think, can they get out of this? And to their credit, they were able to do it. Now, what I witnessed on Tuesday in Atlanta, Friday in Milwaukee, and Saturday in Milwaukee, I'm sorry. I mean, I am sorry. What I saw looked like a team that was choking, looked like a team straight out of 2022. But to the credit of the New York Mets, to the credit of the 2024 New York Mets, what they responded by with what they did on Sunday against, yes, a Brewer team that didn't need anything, mm-hmm. but the Mets still needed something and they did it. And what they did today, down 3-0 and looking dead in the eighth inning, you're damn right. I apologize to the New York Mets because this response from the way this road trip started was absolutely incredible. And thank you, Sean. I thought that was a great piece.
So as long as we're handing out accolades and thank yous.
Yes.
You deserve some credit, Evan.
What I do.
Evan, you haven't once mentioned something for 4 hours that we've been on the air, and now the Mets have clinched. Thank you for shaving your beard. Because at a time when the summer began at DJ's, and that beard was gross and long.
They were terrible.
And you kept it extra. Yeah, you said something's got to be done to save the season. And Positive Tommy came in on his white horse, and all the other gimmicks came.
Is that when Positive Tommy was created?
Sunday of Memorial Day weekend was when Positive Tommy
was created. But this was the Friday Memorial Day weekend. And I haven't heard once, as everybody's looked for credit, from Hawk to a Girl to Grimace to Seymour Wiener to Loogie. Mm. Never once did Evan Roberts get on a microphone and go, guys, remember, I shaved the beard. Like, now is the time, now that they've clinched a playoff spot, to acknowledge you did it for the good of the Mets and they're in the postseason.
So I think what you want me to say to the audience right now, what you want me to say to New York City and to Tommy Lugar, what you're asking me to say is WFAN, acknowledge me.
Oh, stop.
Nah, I cut my beard because I was sick of it.
Your wife was sick of it.
Yes, it smelled and it was disgusting. But hey, if it helps spark the Mets, great. It helps spark the Mets. Let's get to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Ken is calling from Portland. What's up, Ken? Hello, Ken.
Hey, I'm here.
Oh, sorry about that. What's on your mind?
Let's go, Mets, baby! We're in the playoffs. Let's go.
Yes.
And the best way to end that game today was a Travis d'Arnaud strikeout.
Well, it was a ground out, but it was close enough. It was a ground ball to shortstop. But I do agree that Travis d'Arnaud has haunted the Mets. Travis has done nothing wrong. Like, I thought the Mets were right a few years ago when they gave up on him, so I'm not bemoaning the fact that the Mets moved on from him. Mm-hmm. I think Travis needed a new scene. And by the way, he went to multiple scenes before he got to Atlanta. He was in L.A., he was in Tampa, and he got to Atlanta, and it's all worked out. So I've got no issue with Travis or the Mets, but Darnell's been a Met killer. And for him to come up with the tying run on second base in a moment like that, and for Edwin Diaz to get him to ground out, was a very satisfying and shocking moment.
I'll say this, too, because I haven't said this yet. This was the greatest regular season win in the history, at least of my lifetime and Evan's lifetime, of the Mets. This is not the greatest moment, though, of the season. The season still has games left. We are headed to October. It is not over.
You doing a pep talk right now?
We had an hour to celebrate. It's time now to focus on.
Right. You're already back. Right.
There is still work to be done.
There's still a long flight to go if they win this game. There's a lot to be done before they start thinking about.
So you have said over and over again, in fact, to the point where it was completely obnoxious, you have said, don't make plans in October.
Vacation plans in October, yeah.
That's what you have
Who
said.
Who makes vacation plans in October?
Non-sports fans.
That's not even the point.
My mother-in-law.
So my question to you is there a new declaration? Like, don't make Halloween plans because that's the off day before Game 6 of the World Series? Or don't make plans for the first week of November because that's a parade route? Or don't make plans? Like, do you have a furthered positive Tommy take that you would like to give us? Because you've already won. I congratulate you about October plans. But what's next, dear Captain? What's next?
You know what, Evan? Before I set myself up for this, I probably should have thought of something funny, pithy, and positive. I don't have one, but I will say this, and I will come up with one before the show's over. But I said the ceiling and the sky is the limit. Dream big. Dream as much as you want. The Mets are going to October, and I will come up with something to look
at. I got something for you. Yeah. I do have something for you. Game 2 of the NLCS, so if you're believing they can get through two more rounds, is on, take your choice, Indigenous Peoples / Christopher Columbus Day. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can tell us, hey, don't make any plans on the Indigenous Peoples Day.
Actually, you know what? I have a good one here. At one point this season, the Mets were 86-69.
Okay, that has nothing to do with vacation place. By the way, you know
they
what?
They won the World Series in 86.
We're aware. But it's not a vacation.
So that was about a week ago.
No, that was.
Well, now nobody's on vacation.
Look, you're stuck in that box, and you took a swing. It didn't go anywhere.
Well, listen, positive Tommy has done a lot of heavy lifting throughout the summer.
Was he trying to make a bad dad joke?
No, I was just making a correlation that at one point this season they were 86-69. They won the World Series.
He has, I got it.
The World Series. Oh, I see. I was thinking something else with that latter number.
He has a spreadsheet with certain stats from this year. He just went to it there because he had nothing else. I think you should, though, by the way, if you weren't making vacation plans, make them for early February because the Jets and Giants won't be playing.
By the way, what are you, Tom Jones over there holding that mic? We all have our mic on the stick here. You look like Tom Jones in like the Venetian in Vegas.
I feel comfortable.
All right. Mm. You guys can bicker later. Let's go to Trey in Morristown, New Jersey. How you doing, Trey?
Oh, I'm doing well, my friends. Hope you're doing well, too. This team is different. I tried to call in last week, Evan. I was on your side about how it wasn't different, but we were wrong. The rain delay was different. You guys said it earlier with Darnold. In years past, he has a home run. He has against Kelenic in years past. That's a home run, but not with this team and Mr. Grimace's Mets. Let's go, Mets. Heading into October. Have a good day, fellas.
Thank you very much, Trey. You're right. I think that all the signs were there that there was no difference, that despite OMG and Grimace and all the fun that they were having, that this season was going to unfortunately end the same way as it always does, or end the way it did 2 years ago. I described it the other day, Tiki. I got very descriptive. I said, it's like there's a train in the distance, and you know you're going to get run over, but you're still running towards that train because you're just hoping that maybe by some surprise, the train's going to turn.
Or you just step off the track.
Or step off the track.
Right.
So, unfortunately, that's what I thought, and that's the way it appeared. And then eventually, the train swerved out of the way, and we didn't die this horrible death. Instead, we get a respite for the postseason.
Yeah, so you're alive and well, excited, exhausted. I hope the players aren't feeling like you are, which is spent every bit of energy. Until tomorrow? I wonder what you're going to come in like tomorrow.
What I'm going to come in like tomorrow?
It depends. It depends on who they play, honestly. If they win this game, it'll be different because the game won't be while we're on air. But if they lose this game...
So you mean I'll be more tense because it's a 5:30
first pitch? It's a 5:30 first pitch. We'll be halfway through our show. We'll be looking at the lineup. We'll be looking at whatever we're going to be doing tomorrow. It's going to be a repeat of today. Now, I'm just talking about from your emotional standpoint and your physical standpoint from a fan base. I'm exhausted just watching you, as I said multiple times. I wonder what they're going to be like in game one, depending on who they play and what time they play.
I have seen so many examples. I'll give a couple of things that'll make, I guess, Yankee fans happy, too, if you were concerned about what happened over the weekend. I've seen so many examples through baseball history where a team has to travel a lot, and it doesn't matter, and they get hot at the right time. I've also seen examples of teams struggle at the end of seasons.
Because they're exhausted.
and then get hot all of a sudden. Right. Look at Texas last year. Texas blew the American League West. People forget that. They collapsed. They blew it. And then they got to the postseason, and look what happened. I mean, they basically never lost for a while, and they went on this great run, and they won the World Series. Back in 1999, the Mets played a game on a Sunday afternoon at Shea Stadium. They won that game. Had to go to Cincinnati Monday night, and play a one-game playoff. Won that game, and then Tuesday night had to go to Phoenix, Arizona, to play Game 1 of the Division Series against the Diamondbacks and face Randy Johnson. They won that game. Edgardo Alfonso with a game-winning grand slam laid off Bobby Schwenard. So I've seen examples where you could see why a team is tired, but it's pure adrenaline. So if the Mets lose tomorrow night, Game 1 against Milwaukee or San Diego, to me it won't be because they're tired. It won't be because of the schedule and the travel. It'll just be because it's baseball, and that happens. I don't think I'll come in cocky tomorrow, Tiki. I don't think I'm cocky right now, but I'm just excited to be able to experience postseason baseball.
Yeah, of course. And especially because the uncertainty of it for the entire weekend, even though you kind of had a respite to, I don't know, maybe hope it would happen without you having to win a game.
Right.
But it didn't. And so you came in today, and we had a party set up and food and, I don't know, pantsing, whatever the heck you want to call
it. Here's
a
real question on food, because I know he's listening right now. What did you think of Abuelo, my father-in-law?
Fantastic.
Chorizos quesadillas.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
But much better than what we brought in.
Wow. There you go. Put that hammer down.
It's like he should be a chef in a restaurant.
Well, he was, and then he retired. Well,
he is at Evan's house.
You know what I like about what he did? He went chorizo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody goes chicken or steak on a quesadilla.
Agreed,
and Abuelo said no. Yeah.
No. Abuelo didn't mess around.
Let me do it the right way.
Yeah.
And Abuelo also knew what was on the line. He knew why the quesadillas were being made. He knew this was for a monstrous Met game in which especially Lugan and I were going to have indigestion. And he knew what was on the line. So he came ready to play. So would you say greatest chorizo quesadilla you've ever had?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
He needs to open a restaurant.
Damn right. Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. What should we call it?
Casa de Evan.
You should. So name it after me, and he does all the chefing?
Yeah, because that way, you know, you can promote it on the show. Gets popular.
No.
People come.
No,
executive chefed by.
Yeah, I got a better idea.
Go ahead.
And somebody say I learned this from Craig. The name of the restaurant should be Evan and Tiki.
Ooh.
Okay. Oh, that's definitely from the Craig
playbook. That's the Craig playbook. Yeah. Tiki makes appearances once a week.
That's actually dope.
That's pretty dope.
That's solid.
He does the chefing. It'll be the problem is, not that there's a problem, because I have great respect for your franchise.
Dude.
I think that restaurant becomes a giant restaurant.
Well,
which
what's
is
wrong
not,
with that?
No, there's really nothing.
It depends on the square footage.
My father-in-law is a Giant fan.
I finally got that one. That was good.
I think the Giant fans are going to love that place. And I'm going to feel out of place.
That's just a risk you got to take.
No, I'd sign up for it.
Look, Giant fans got to eat, too.
That's true. They really do. Yeah. More of your calls coming up. Plus, the New York Knicks made a blockbuster trade on Friday night. What is the king of Knicks fans think, and what do we think of the decision to trade Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo? We'll give you our opinions on that, plus more reaction to the Mets' shocking victory over the Atlanta Braves. We'll also make our NFL picks for tonight's games coming up a little bit later on as well, so still a lot to do. Our transportation, water, and energy infrastructure is critical, but did you know that those projects are built by the local A25 operating engineers and their contractors? They even built MetLife Stadium and the stadium before that. That's why their advocacy organization, ELEC, the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative, fights for those priorities every day. That's ELEC, representing the hardworking men and women who build New York and New Jersey. We've been live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Guys, have you heard of Collars & Co.? Mark Cuban invested $1 million in this company on Shark Tank. They make the original dress collar polo, which is a super soft four-way stretch polo, but the top has a firm dress collar on it, so it gives you that dress shirt look, but with an extremely comfortable polo feel. They look sharp by themselves and killer with a sweater or a blazer. They also have amazing long-sleeve dress shirts, stretch chinos, and luxe quarter zips. So whether you're back to the office or just looking to elevate your weekend game, you gotta go check them out. You can get 15% off your first order if you use code TIKI at collarsandco.com. Go to collarsandco.com.
This is Zach Gelb with Odyssey Sportsman and sponsored by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Please gamble responsibly. The Dallas Cowboys beat the New York Giants last night to kick off week 4 of the NFL season, but Dallas didn't look all that impressive as they only beat Big Blue by 5 points. The Cowboys aren't a bad team, but I wouldn't call them a good team either. So as the kids would say, the Cowboys are just mid, and I expect them to just miss the playoffs this season. I'm Zach Gelb.
Hey, sports fans, if you're not calling John Anthony, you're simply missing out. To prove it, I'm releasing your Monday Night Report absolutely free on recorded message line. 1-800-244-5506. Seattle-Detroit tonight's going to be a monster game, and I've got the side and the total. Seattle-Detroit confirmed analysis and special props. That's five big plays. John Anthony has you covered. I love to sweep the board. Call now to hear a free and recorded message. 1-800-244-5506. Information wins. John Anthony Sports, number one against the spread. Call 1-800-244-5506. You want information? I've got it. Seattle-Detroit plus special prop action. I love to go 5-0 in the season free. 1-800-244-5506. That's 1-800-244-5506. Or go to johnanthonysports.com.
Sponsored by JFSR Group.
Tiki Barber here with John Gallucci Jr., President and CEO, JAG Physical Therapy. John, what's the fun sport everyone loves playing these days?
Pickleball, pickleball, pickleball. I'm back. This is John Gallucci Jr., President and CEO of JAG Physical Therapy, here to take you pickleball players and keep you healthy. Remember, you've got to warm up, you've got to stretch, you've got to take care of you so you can stay on the pickleball court. So call us today or reach out at jagpt.com. Get some simple prevention of injury tips. We're here as your resource of prevention, and we're here as your resource of rehabilitation. Come and visit us at jagpt.com.
Pickleball is a great way to socialize and stay fit, but don't let the fun lead to an injury. JAG Physical Therapy knows an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Their warm-up tips can help keep you on the pickleball court. If you do sustain an injury, JAG has locations throughout New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania to get you back to the life you love. Visit jagpt.com. That's jagpt.com.
From profit boosts to same-game parlays, ESPN Bet is ready to hit the gridiron this season. And as the official sports book of ESPN, it's the only place to find exclusive football offers from ESPN personalities like Mike Greenberg and Stephen A. Smith. New players can get their first bet insured up to $1,000 in bonus bets by downloading the ESPN Bet app and signing up with promo code RADIO. Download today. Must be 21 plus. Offer not available in New York. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
I don't feel so good.
You do feel hot. DayQuil Kids will take care of that fever.
What about my cough?
DayQuil Kids has that covered.
Will it make my throat feel better?
Yes, that too.
But will it taste good?
Yep, DayQuil Kids comes in your favorite flavor.
Purple?
Well, yes, it's grape.
Try new DayQuil Kids Plus Fever, the daytime coughing, aching, sore throat fever just for kids medicine. Safe for kids 6 plus. Use as directed.
It takes a lot to prepare for game day as a dedicated fan, and preparing the perfect tailgate meal might be most important of all. That's why Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise is the MVP. Hellmann's Mayonnaise is the secret to bring out the rich and creamy taste to all your game day dishes, from buffalo chicken dip to your favorite sub sandwich and everything in between. So give it a try, and mayo game day be delicious with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. Shop at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store and add some extra deliciousness to your game day dishes this football season.
I'm Brian Tedesco, CEO of Blaupunk Americas, the pioneers of the car stereo. Today, we're not just about sound systems. We are revolutionizing the e-bike scene with Blue Dot Bike. Thanks to AmericanEagle.com, our online presence now features a dynamic e-commerce website that showcases.
We have had a very eventful day here on the Fan. If you missed any of it, you got two options. Option number one is the free Odyssey app. You can always rewind to the beginning of the show. And also, special thanks to Anthony Gallo and the crew, because this has been on YouTube all day. So everybody's had a chance to watch our watch party if you wanted to kind of involve yourself. We've been on YouTube all day long, so that gets posted. And you can rewind and relive all the incredible moments, even when we were at commercial. Because the YouTube video never went off. So when Francisco Lindor hit the two-run home run that turned out to be the game-winning home run, we were watching the game. We weren't on the air. Mm-hmm. We were paying the damn bills.
By the way, most of that six-run eighth was the same way.
Yes. It's almost like it was better luck. And so you can see some of the magical moments, especially me and Loogie had. I think we bonded greatly over the course of this game.
You mean you humping me? Yeah, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, you ever. Liked it. I saw the smile.
Years and years of therapy will never be able to shake that moment.
Now, if you care about this second game, the Mets are losing 1-0 in the fifth inning, but they do have two on and nobody out.
And Chris Sale, who got scratched because he had back issues, had to be replaced by Grant Holmes, who's been in the rotation, but he also pitched yesterday. Holmes is coming out in the fifth inning. So the Mets are rallying with a chance to take the lead. Again, if they win, they play the Padres. If they lose, they play the Brewers.
If they win, they also eliminate the Braves from the postseason.
That too. As we're sitting here watching this game, I keep having to remind myself that this is an actual game going on right now. This feels like a Mets classic from April.
It does.
Because it means absolutely nothing right. for us. Well, just went through the greatest moment of our lives in the regular season as Mets fans. And I'm like, I keep looking for the date at the top right saying, you know, from April this year.
The challenge is all the energy that was there for game one. It's completely dissipated.
Yep.
Yeah. It's gone. And so we're watching this game like it doesn't matter. Yeah. It obviously matters because it determines who the Mets play.
It determines,
but also whether or not the Braves get in.
It determines three things, okay? And real quick, Lugie, because we also need Tommy's opinion on Cat, the cat for the dog. Mm. Does it matter eliminating Atlanta and going through a San Diego LA roadmap versus we don't eliminate Atlanta and it's a Milwaukee Philadelphia roadmap?
Oh, I want Philadelphia.
You want Philly, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So back of your mind, you're like, you know what? Let's just lose this game, take on the Brewers, hopefully beat them, and then make a return trip to the city of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
So, you're rooting for a Met loss, but you're positive, Tommy?
You don't want to close this story on the Padres?
So I want Philadelphia.
Shouldn't you root for every Met win?
Positavi's brain is scrambled right now, so I don't want to deal with your trolling right now.
All I could think about, so Friday night, I'm sitting there watching the Mets lose this, another brutal, lifeless game. And I'm sitting there, kind of depressed, and all of a sudden I get a Shams bomb. Comes right onto my phone. The New York Knicks are trading Julius Randle in a package with Dante DiVincenzo to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Karl Anthony Towns. And it's one of those things where we've talked about this. Like, the idea of Randle being moved in a trade for Kat is not shocking. Mm-mm. What's shocking is that it happened right then and there. And so I think once you get the news, it's not contradictions to say, I'm stunned, even though I'm not really surprised.
My initial reaction was, no, they're breaking up the quartet, the Villanova quartet. That's the first thing I thought.
That's what you thought of?
Right. And then all of a sudden you start hearing things. Well, he wasn't going to start. He kind of was disgruntled a little bit, even though we didn't hear it. Even though I don't know how true those things are. But when you think about it, it makes sense from getting better standpoint. Right, the Knicks are better with Karl Anthony Towns if he plays at a heightened emotional level.
That's been
the knock on him. He plays soft sometimes.
There's a few knocks on him. Soft has been a critique some has had. The ability to stay on the floor certainly a critique some may have.
But he's the greatest three-point shooting center in the league.
I mean, he's one of the great big man shooters in the history of basketball. Right. I'll be the first to tell you. As a 7-footer that with a touch like that, and I also believe, just a little basketball here, that he was playing out of position the last year and a half. I don't think, even though the Timberwolves made a run, that Karl Anthony Towns was best suited playing next to Rudy Gobert.
Right.
And I think he is best being in the role he's going to have for the Knicks. Before we get to Tommy, I'll tell you my gut over this as it happened reaction, and then we'll go into further details. But my first reaction was, wow, the Knicks are right. They knew Julius Randle is a loser. They knew what I've been saying is true. He is a loser. They're not winning with him. And I don't mean that on any kind of personal level. Julius does seem like a really good dude. He just opened up that school in the Bronx, and he really does come across like a classy guy. So I want to specify sports loser, okay? Let me clean that up a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's not a loser in life, okay? As a sports loser, he's come up very small in big spots. He plays with a very low basketball IQ, and I have said this to you many times before. You're not winning with Julius Randle. So I'd be an absolute hypocrite to say, oh my God, you traded Julius Randle. Like, they were smart to trade Julius Randle. So that was my initial response, that Leon Rose was smart for making this move. Now, Tommy, how you feeling?
All right, let me first start with Julius, who deserves his flowers. Julius Randle came to the Knicks when most players didn't want to. Julius Randle started the turnaround, brought the Knicks back to prominence. Jalen Brunson, I think, will be the guy that history looks back on as the guy that turned things around, but it was Julius Randle. Remember, Julius Randle had that one season where he wasn't in the huddles. He was
blah, blah, blah. What do you think of the trade?
The guy deserves his flowers, though, because he's been, much like Francisco Lindor, trashed all over this radio station.
Because he's come up small in big spots,
okay.
And Leon agreed.
why he traded him.
But when we're sitting here celebrating a Nick championship, just remember Julius Randle was the one that started. All right, let me get to the bad first with Karl Anthony Towns. He is soft. He has a low basketball IQ. There will be times in the game where he has four fouls in the second half and he's sitting around sulking and moping around the court, and it's going to drive you nuts.
Be careful what you say. It might end up on a t-shirt.
You could put that. Here's why it won't go on a t-shirt, Tiki. Evan agrees with me. That's why. He didn't agree with the Jalen Brunson take. He agrees with the Karl Anthony Towns.
Not necessarily. No, I don't fully agree with everything
you said.
What did I just say?
Okay, fine. He is a, now let's get to, well, let's start with this. He is a cat that's going to have to earn the right to be a dog. I will not give him his dude and dog status. He's going to have to earn it.
Do you agree that the Knicks should have made this trade?
Yes, the Knicks are better right now. This is the best Knicks roster in my lifetime. That includes all the rosters in the 90s. This is the most hype we've had surrounding Madison Square Garden, the Knicks, in the time that I've been at this station, and they are the uncrowned champions. Karl Anthony Towns is a great shooting big man. He'll stretch the floor. A lot of positives he added to this roster. The Dante DiVincenzo thing, I understand that.
You got to give up something to get something.
Yeah, and I get the emotional attachment, but it was just like with R.J. Barrett. It was just like Emmanuel Quickley. And I told you, OG Anunoby was best for business. Towns is the same way. You won't be thinking about Dante DiVincenzo all season long. I know. I understand being upset about it now, but you won't be thinking about him all year.
Yeah, so I think that where Leon Rose deserves a lot of credit, and you disagree with him, and that's okay. You could disagree with your team president. Is Leon knew what I knew, what I think Sean knew, and some Knicks fans knew, which is while you guys had a great year last year, you weren't good enough.
Yep.
And that's why Leon Rose went ultra aggressive this offseason in trading for Mikal Bridges and now for trading Karl Anthony Towns. Like, the New York Knicks are very different than they were last year. They made some major, major changes, and I commend them for that.
Yeah.
I really
Celtics
do.
With Marcus Smart last year. How much did that work out for him? That was painful.
Sometimes you've got to do uncomfortable, aggressive things, and I think acquiring a guy like Bridges, who's much best suited not being the lead dog, as I know full well, and is also an excellent perimeter defender, hits the corner three as well as anybody, and is on a team that fits him best, and now you get a stretch big like Karl Anthony Towns, who can hit threes, who can protect the basket, like, from a fit perspective, like him and Jalen Brunson on pick and rolls, kind of blows your mind. Like, the Knicks got better. They did.
Yeah.
They got better. Now, are there questions about this working? Of course. And to me, Tiki, the number one question, not with Bridges, because I'll give him this, that dude plays.
Right.
Karl Anthony Towns has a track record of missing games. Can he stay healthy? Can OG stay healthy? We'll see about the future of Mitchell Robinson. But those two guys staying on the floor, especially when it matters, that's going to be the key.
Yeah, because you can't afford one or both of them out for an extended amount of time. Because who you're replacing the production with? Defensively for Mitch, and obviously offensively for Cat, if he's as effective from range and from the field as he has been in Minnesota. So to me, the biggest thing is chemistry. Is
buy-in. That's the other thing, Teague. It's a great point.
And so much of what we saw last year felt like natural chemistry. These guys just kind of got each other. They vibed with one another. Even with Julius Randle out, it just, and he maybe even enhanced it.
They didn't vibe with him, though.
Right, but I think when he left, it just kind of created this, all right, we're, everything flowed. No matter what the situation was, they were attuned to one another. When you bring a new guy in who's been in a different type of system, now familiarity with obviously Tibbs, but I think the chemistry between the players is going to be the biggest thing that I'm going to have to look for.
And you know what? I'll give Knicks fans a warning, and it's a kind warning. You're going to have to be patient.
Yeah.
Because this is a very different basketball team. You fell in love with the team last year, and there's a lot of guys still there. Jalen obviously is still there. Mm-hmm. Josh Hart is still there. OG hopefully is healthy. He's still there. But when you look at Bridges and Towns, it's a very different team, and I think chemistry is going to take time. Yeah. But I commend Leon Rose. I think he did what you guys probably didn't want him to do, which is say, I'm going for it. I don't believe this team is good enough. And I think about the fit. Like, think about a closing lineup. I think about Jalen Brunson on the floor with Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, Karl Anthony Towns, and Josh Hart. Think about this for a second. Josh Hart, who hit so many big shots last year, was actually a really good three-point shooter in the playoffs to the point where it didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I should have started asking questions. Josh Hart is far and away, not even close, the worst three-point shooter on the floor when he shares the floor with Bridges, OG, Jalen, and Kat. And I say that as a good thing.
Right.
You know how many extra offensive rebounds Josh Hart's going to grab? Like, that closing lineup, if they're healthy, and they develop chemistry, the New York Knicks are better than they were prior to this.
Because everyone gets pulled away from the basket.
And it just fits. Like, everything fits so much. Like, Bridges and it fits better. And trust me, I say that with pain. Yeah. I don't want the Knicks to be successful. But you got to look past emotional attachment on players.
Yeah.
And you got to look at fit. And while there's a negative to this, here are the two negatives. Negative number one is Cat staying on the floor. And the second negative is he makes a crap ton of money and you've locked yourself into this for the next 4 years, right? He's making $50 million a year. To me, I don't worry about that. It's like, all right, this is it. This is what I'm going for. This is my core.
Right.
This is what I'm doing. And I commend Leon for giving it a try. And I do think the New York Knicks got better.
And look, the Knicks are going to probably ultimately miss DiVincenzo in his minutes. But just remember, when you ran him into the ground, perhaps last year was simply Dante's peak.
He dropped the mic
once
and left.
Again, I'm sorry.
He's sleeping.
Try to cleanse the palate here, Nick fans. It's positive Tommy here. You got to trust Leon Rose. You got to trust the organization. They've earned it. I think they have the best front office in all of New York sports. And I bring up this, Evan. You're a big basketball guy.
Yeah.
The Boston Celtics went from bridesmaids to NBA champions because they got a big man that could spread the floor, KP. That changed them into a title contender. That's what Karl Anthony Towns can do for the Knicks.
Yeah, he should have been more focused on the good Dante. Called it Dante's Inferno.
Ah, yeah, and he regrets Sean's coming back. He almost realizes that maybe that mic drop moment wasn't as good as he thought.
I think it was pretty damn good.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
What a day in New York sports. What a day indeed. If you missed any of it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. This show's been broadcasted on YouTube all day. You can check that out as well. Mets are going to the postseason. They're trying to finish off their doubleheader against Atlanta. They currently trail 1-0, but they have first and third and two outs and Pete Alonso at the plate. Mets win. They go to San Diego, eliminate the Braves. Mets lose. Braves go to the playoffs too, but the Mets will go to Milwaukee, and they'll start it off tomorrow. The Mets did not score in the sixth inning because Pete Alonso grounded out. And I'll say this to Pete. Get all the non-clutch baseball out of the way now. Because tomorrow night, if you ground out in a spot like that.
He's exhausted, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I'm not mad at him.
It's been a long day. Had an emotional doubleheader.
Don't I know, Tiki. It is time to make our picks. There are two Monday Night Football games tonight. Our picks are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL, the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy. By ELAC A25, Building Our Future. By Samuel Institute for Pain Management. Visit SamuelPain.com. And by Saks Underwear with the Ballpark Pouch. We all had miserable Sundays. I went 0-3. Sean went 0-3.
Shocker.
Tiki went 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
Lugie went 1-2.
Woo!
We all picked the Jets. We all got it wrong. Overall, here are the standings. Me and Lugie are tied for first place at 10-10. Tiki is at 7-13. And Sean Morash has a pick record of 2-18. I repeat, Sean Morash has a pick record of 2-18.
And I'm trying.
And he's trying. So because of that, we're going to allow you to go first on the two Monday night games. The current lines we have is Miami laying 2.5 and Detroit laying 4.5. Go ahead, Sean.
I got to be real with you. I think the Titan-Dolphin game might be the one NFL game of the year so far. I have zero feel for heading in. It's a week of Snoop. He ran the promos last night. Snoop Dogg, it'll be at Steelers-Cowboys. Snoop Huntley. Give me him laying the 2.5 in Miami tonight for no other reason than I'm throwing a dart. Game number two, I think I do have a strong feel for. People have overrated and overvalued the Seattle Seahawks through their first three games in their undefeated stretch, and they are so ripe for a pick and go into a raucous Ford Field tonight, where I think the Lions now have kind of earned their stripes in being a big-time, prime-time team. I think the Lions stomp them tonight. I'm laying the 4.5 points.
Lions are laying 4.5.
Yes.
All right.
I am going to go next, and I'm actually going to agree with Sean, believe it or not, which is scary considering he's 2-18. Despite the Dolphin quarterback issues, the line is so weird. The Dolphins being favored against the Tennessee team that has a lot of talent doesn't make any sense. So one thing I've sort of learned from all those sharps out there is when a line doesn't make sense, don't fall victim to it. So I'm going to take Miami laying the 2.5 against Tennessee. Obviously, I hope I'm wrong. You know how I feel about the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And in game number two, I completely agree. I think that the Seattle Seahawks are the softest undefeated team in the NFL.
Wow.
I think the Lions are going to blow them out tonight. Give me Detroit laying the 4.5. So I'm with Sean. Miami as a favorite. Detroit as a favorite. Yeah. Tiki, go ahead.
Yeah, keep it interesting. I'll go both dogs.
Wow.
Complete opposite.
By the way, picking against me is usually safe, Tiki. So congrats.
I'm also very surprised that Tiki would do that to Dan Campbell. I'm surprised.
Wait, they might still win the game.
Well, that's true, I guess. All right, so
good catch.
Tiki officially going with Tennessee and Seattle. And let's go to Tommy Lugauer, who demanded he go last. He said he would quit the radio station.
Part of my contract.
If he was not allowed to go last. And you know what? Sometimes you got to give the baby what he wants.
Lovely setup. All right, I'll take the Lions laying the 4.5. And then I am going to take I'm gonna take the Titans plus 2.5.
Okay.
Wow. In the toilet bowl. Take the points.
There you go. Me and Sean on Miami, Lugie and Tiki on Tennessee. We're all on Detroit except for Tiki, who's taking Seattle. Those are our Monday night picks right here on WFAN. The later game, which is Seattle-Detroit, is right here on WFAN. That's a game you'll hear right now. The Miami game, or not right now, but about an hour or so. Lugie's got a Lug hour, and the Miami game is the early game. I want to thank everybody here at WFAN. They believed in this crazy idea. They said, yes, let's have an audio watch party. Engineering, led by Steve Apria, the king of it.
Always the man.
Hooked us up. Everybody really did an outstanding job. Who am I forgetting? Let's name names that I shouldn't forget.
Jess Clark took care
of it. Jess! Oh, how can I forget Jess Clark?
Yep.
Jess Clark did a great job. Ryan Hurley allowed to do it. The great architect thought it was a good idea. So thank you to everybody who helped put it together. Thank you to everybody who stopped by and watched the game with us. And thank you, Tiki, Sean, and Lugie. It was an honor to watch the greatest regular season game in the history of the New York Mets with you guys.
Close with saying something you wouldn't say at SNY.
Close. The Mets!
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. The Mets are going to the playoffs.
It's easy to say now.
Lugie coming up next.
Lugie's coming up next. I'll do a Rico Bronya much later in the night. I need some rest. Have a good night, everybody. Let's go, Mets!